cheese we'll find my 409, my 409, 409. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, 409. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up, 409.
6:50 on Hudson Valley Focus Live on the Beacon. He has graciously returned to the studio, Beacon Mayor Lee Kiriakou, and he brought donuts again. Good morning.
Good morning.
So he knows that we're easy here. So now it's as Mayor said, the donuts are here for a reason, and that's sincerely true. So we'll look forward to that. I was talking before you came in, Mayor, about the outage that they had at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange a couple of weeks ago and the vulnerabilities that we have in these computer systems, these data centers, the internet linkages. And, boy, I'll tell you, it just seems to me that there's a lack of vision, lack of leadership, both public and private, that clusters these things and doesn't have the kinds of backups that we need. Your background again?
Good morning. Nice to be here. Actually, my background's in the banking industry.
That's what I thought.
I know a great deal about backups. We learned a lot on 9/11 because for the major banks and much of the payments infrastructure of the U.S., most of the systems were in lower Manhattan,
yes,
in Wall Street. And the three big banks that do the bulk of the major international payments, not the dollars that we send, but the millions of dollars,
yes,
two of them went down. All three went down because they're all in lower Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them had backups in lower Manhattan, and the third one had a backup in Brooklyn.
Yep.
And they all are interconnected to one another, so the system stayed up because one of the backups wasn't in lower Manhattan. After 9/11, the banking industry knew that it had to separate where its backup sites,
yes,
were, and they were dispersed. The Merck was included in that, so was the Federal Reserve, but occasionally stuff happens both to your main site and your backup and,
sure,
probably your tertiary site.
Sure. 1992, Hurricane Andrew hit South Florida. One of the largest hurricanes, wiped out all kinds of stuff. And we did a lot of business with a major insurance company in Hartford with a big red umbrella. And they actually wound up after that building, I think it was at least five custom 40-foot motorhomes, satellite-linked, remote terminals, and then they put redundancy in from their data site in Hartford. I think they built a second one in Atlanta, and there may have been a third one out in the Wisconsin area, if I'm not mistaken, that could exchange data real-time. We actually had a very bad loss here back in, I believe it was 2000, when those straight line wind storms ripped all the way from Route 9 right across Vassar Road all the way out through LaGrange, and we wound up with tens and tens of thousands of dollars of damage. And we actually we had the insurance business at that point in time, and the next morning, or maybe it was even that day, maybe they had no it was an, the next morning we had one of those 40-foot motorhomes sitting right in our parking lot over on Route 44 so that the claims processing could take place immediately and get stuff done. But the what you and I are talking about, it relates to what we're going to talk about this morning, because this is about leadership. It's about vision. We talked briefly before, I think the microphones were off, about the changing demographics, changing patterns. Yesterday, I played an audio and video about the building of the Levitt towns after World War II.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is the ongoing evolution of who we are as a society. And changing consumer habits, the automobile played a huge role in the birth of the subdivisions, And the automobile to this day, with the drive-through that allows you to pull up and go to the window and get the donuts and go out the other side, is part of our conversation.
Absolutely. And actually, the post-World War II was the last period that we had a severe national housing shortage.
Yes.
And we're sort of back into that period now, but for very different reasons, right? World War II was all the GIs coming home, getting married, having kids, and the growth of the suburbs, the Levitt towns was a big component of that. Nowadays, we're also short housing, and we should talk about what are the roles of local communities
Absolutely.
And their zoning in helping that situation.
And it's, again, to turn that issue and look at it from multiple perspectives, the zoning, one of the things I touched on was, you know, there's exclusionary zoning where some, you know, towns, municipalities would put in minimum lot sizes. I mean, there's some here in Dutchess County, I think, have 5-acre minimum lot size.
Mm-hmm.
Minimum house size. A lot of the Levitt Town houses that were built, as they said in that video, the starter homes were 750 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
The average today, what did I look up, Robbie? I think it was 2,400 or 2,600 square feet.
That makes sense.
So it's just, Mayor Kiriakou, all of these are the issues that we have to have the thoughtful discussions about.
Yeah, and you know, zoning is probably the most powerful tool that a community has to affect what its future looks like. Look, most of what a city like Beacon does, you know, we do fire, we do police, water, sewer, all the basic services. And if you do that well, you're doing fine. But for long-term things like how do you recover from generation's economic downturn, which Beacon went through?
Yes.
Or how do you get housing when you're suddenly short housing nationally? Those issues, local government, the tool that's important, and it's a very powerful one, is zoning. And one has to be very careful how one does it because you can't predict how the market will play out and how individuals will make decisions, but you can help guide some of it. Mm-hmm. And zoning is an important tool for that.
And it cuts both ways because those individuals who are already there have an investment and you know, let's say for many folks, their equity in their home is their most important asset, and the wrong zoning can degrade that value. When you said that, you just reminded me about not predicting. In mid-1980s, 85, 86, we were going through a housing boom. And there was out in the town of LaGrange, I think, I might be wrong about this, but I think about 40 years ago, there were on the drawing boards in town of LaGrange subdivisions that would have brought 3,500 new houses to the town of LaGrange, which would have been a huge percentage increase. There was a new commercial site being developed, Lexington Park, I think it was called, right next to the Arlington High School. And we were going to be opening up a second office in there. It was supposed to open in 1986. And because of the zoning delays and moratoriums that were put in effect, that commercial development did not get finished until 1987. We opened up our second office. The town then continued to renew their moratoriums on new residential construction. The only reason we opened the second office was the fact that there was going to be the growth of that new LaGrange Center. We're going to come back, take a quick break. Mayor Lee Kiriakou, City of Beacon, in with me. We'll come back and pick up this conversation here in a minute on The Beacon.
And you'll stop crying.
706 Hudson Valley Focus Live on The Beacon. Beacon Mayor Lee Kiriakou in a studio with me. So let's see. Where do we leave this conversation off here? We're talking about 1987. We opened up a new insurance office out in LaGrange. The town put a moratorium on those new subdivisions that were going to bring 300 new residential units out there. And it was a 6-month moratorium, a 6-month moratorium, a 6-month moratorium. 18 months later, a major employer in the area was really announcing major layoffs. And the housing market went into a tailspin, and you said you remember those days well. That's when you arrived here.
That's correct. So my wife and I moved up from New York City in 92. I got on the city council in Beacon in 1993. And the issues we were facing in that community at the time were, you know, we were in the dumps. You know, most of Main Street was boarded up. Most of the factories were shut down. Nobody was coming. In fact, the realtors did not encourage us to move to Beacon. They were saying exactly the opposite.
Right.
And we moved anyway. We got an old Victorian facing the river, and because it was right by the train station and I worked in the city, it made a big difference. But the zoning issues at the time, what we went through in the 90s was we rethought through where are we heading as a community, and the zoning and the things that the city was doing was basically pointing to the past, pointing to its factory town history. A lot of the zoning was industrial, except factories weren't coming back. Main Street was expected to get cut down to size and look like the mall in Poughkeepsie. They were allowing ground floor apartments, and so none of the businesses were coming back, surprisingly. We had an incinerator on our waterfront, a city incinerator. So those things we had to tackle in the 90s without knowing whether those changes and the vision of a non-industrial community and a more residential and commercial community would actually take hold. Turns out it did. We had a bit of luck in the process. But
you had, and I've mentioned this before, you were fortunate that you had the steady hand of Mayor Clara Lou Gould.
Yep. So, in fact, the nice thing about it is the last 40 years, there have been only four mayors and only four city administrators. We've changed parties a couple of times. In fact, each time we've changed parties, and it hasn't mattered because we were all heading the same direction.
Right.
That common set of goals, that sort of steady, consistent leadership. Clara Lou was my mayor when I first got on. She passed away about a year ago. We had an opportunity to get the four mayors together that I just mentioned for a conversation, and it was a lot of fun and a lot of agreement as to where this community needed to head, where it's headed, and hopefully in the future where it will head.
So 1993 is an important year. It was March of 1993 that I was the head of long-range planning for the Poughkeepsie Chamber of Commerce, and we organized the county's first strategic direction conference. Because that, if you're looking at strategic planning and vision and looking ahead to the future, setting an overall direction before you get sucked into the minutia and the politics and the personalities is critical.
Yes.
Absolutely critical.
Absolutely. And a lot of those nowadays get written down in what's called a comprehensive plan.
Yes.
For communities. And Beacon, I wanted to do one immediately because I read our comprehensive plan in the 90s, and it was just pointing the wrong way. As I mentioned, it was expecting Main Street to get much shorter to become a pedestrian mall. It still expected factories. It took us a while, and we did zoning in pieces. We worked on housing zoning first and Main Street zoning and then our waterfront zoning. But we didn't do a comprehensive plan until the 2000s, 2007, and then updated about 8 years ago. In that, with our recovery, what we say is our goal and our vision is we want to sustain our Main Street, which is extremely important. It's too long a Main Street for a community our size because it was two villages that grew together. And so it says we're looking for some density.
Was one of those Matawan? Was it Matawan?
Yeah, Fishkill Landing was the ferry community.
Right.
And Matawan was the factory community on the water, right?
Yes.
On the creek. And kind of accepting where zoning should be denser along Main Street,
mm-hmm.
along Fishkill Creek, where we had derelict factories we were hoping to convert to housing, and then along the Hudson River, where people will commute, and so that would be areas that we would want denser zoning. The rest of the community, more than 80% of the land is single-family housing.
Yes.
And that we preserve, although one of the things we've done recently, because the average household size is shrinking,
yes.
is we've started allowing accessory units in those single-family homes, which is very useful because if the average family size has gone from 5 down to 2.5 or whatever the number is, the houses haven't changed size. And so being able to add an in-law apartment for your kids, for your parents, has become an important part of the process.
And Mayor Kiriakou, what is really important about that is that we've seen this in other areas where you do it with those good intentions, and then people will come in and push the boundaries on that. And next thing you know, you find out somebody else, you know, maybe an absentee landlord buys something, and you have a rooming house, let's say, with, you know, and that's the reality, and it can absolutely be very disruptive to emergency services, to school enrollments, lots of things involved.
You have to be careful how you do it. And one of my beliefs, because I've been working on this for 30-plus years, is you don't know enough to know everything. And so you have to be willing to start and adapt as you go. The council about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe a couple more, started allowing what are called short-term rentals and started regulating them.
Yes.
And which are, you know, Airbnbs right, and such. And we put a law in place on it, and it's hard to manage it because
yes.
it's hard to detect what people are doing. Partly, you know, do you want to, but short-term rentals do affect neighborhoods because, you know, you don't know who's coming in on any given weekend.
That's true.
Oftentimes they may involve, you know, weddings or parties. So you have to be careful there. We're going to pick it up again. And one of the things we've discovered is now that we're an extremely popular community, housing is tight. Rents are higher in Beacon than the surrounding area. Mm-hmm. It used to be exactly the opposite. And one of the contributors is the lack of apartments because they were put toward short-term rentals. We may ban them, or we may start whittling them down to a smaller number to kind of encourage more apartment and long-term rentals. But those are the issues you work on, and I'm very cautious how we do it. I'm not sure every legislator, every local, you know, official is as cautious, but you rarely know all the answers. So,
well, one of the things that would come to mind then is, you know, really starting with the respectful conversation and lining up the pros and cons on both sides of those issues, or no, not both sides, multiple sides.
Yeah.
Of those issues,
which is why having a good, you know, city planner is very, very important. My closest relationship with Dutchess County is with its planning department. We rely on them; they're good professionals. And then, you know, we have a city planner. She is a contract person, which is not a full time mm-hmm. position. But having someone to give you good advice, working carefully with your lawyers, is extremely important to get it right. And I will say, part of the housing shortage that we face, I'm told that something like 500,000 units that we don't have in the New York metro area, I think New York is close to 1 million units that it could, housing units it can use, is because cities have become popular again. And people want to live in cities, and so people are coming back. It's bidding up, you know, the price of rents and the value of homes, and we're going to have to respond to that. Getting that piece right takes work, and not all the communities want the density that's going to
come. That's true, and in many of these areas where they imposed rent controls decades ago,
yep.
That is a major, major factor. We're going to get a quick break in with Sports Break. Beacon Mayor Lee Kiriakou in studio with me. And when we come back, let's spend some time talking about the Route 52 corridor.
Yep, that'll be a good example.
Back in a minute on the Beacon. /7:21 Hudson Valley Focus Live on the Beacon. Beacon Mayor Lee Kiriakou in a studio. We've been talking. Didn't even get to these donuts yet. So Route 52. Let's you know, pick that conversation up. And even though it goes from Fishkill into Beacon, but if we pick it up from, let's say, I-84 down into Beacon.
Sure.
Yeah,
a good example of the mini version of zoning issues is Route 52, also known as Fishkill Avenue in Beacon. And as you say, Route 52 hits I-84 in Fishkill. If you then head into Beacon from there, there's actually the town hall for Fishkill, the police department, and then you hit the section of Beacon. I think the studio is in on the Fishkill side of the line.
We are in Fishkill.
Right. But on the Beacon side, you had what were largely auto dealers and some automotive uses right on.
We are in Fishkill.
So, I don't think so.
I think you are.
We are.
Well, if you look at our address, no.
The post office is Beacon, but the town or community line is Fishkill.
Fishkill.
Yeah.
Well, try explaining that to me.
I'll give you a better example. Out in Pleasant Valley, you head from Pleasant Valley out the other side of the Taconic Parkway. It's the town of Pleasant Valley. They have a Salt Point mailing address, and the people go to the Millbrook schools.
Yeah.
And the phone exchange is even different still.
Yeah.
So the boundaries don't always line up.
I'm just saying what the address is. But continue.
You have the view of most people. The boundary lines in New York are just, you know, historical silliness,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
The Beacon post office extends beyond the Beacon city boundaries. The Beacon school district also extends beyond the city boundaries. And so you can't quite tell. But legally, we're in Fishkill right now.
Sure.
And I'm going to be talking about both sections of 52.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So let's come back to that. So that's a good example. So we got our main street is humming now. We've got we're what used to be one-story zoning, thinking they had to go to a mall on Main Street. We now have historic preservation. All of those older buildings that were derelict have been restored. We're allowing three-story and in some cases four on Main Street. Everything's, you know, hopping. We got a proposal to turn one of the parking lots at the train station into housing, which is a great idea, very sustainable. And now we're looking at Route 52 in Beacon, which has historically been automotive. And the dealerships are there. Well, you know, selling cars has changed dramatically.
Yes.
You don't need as many dealerships, and you don't need these big lots because, you know, cars are made to order now. So we started to say we want to think through where does this Fishkill Avenue portion of Beacon want to go in the next 20 years. I had a council that, you know, had very different views. Some thought it should be – height should be shorter, some longer. So I put it to a committee, created a committee to look at it, assigned resource from our city planner to it, and we have a great resources in the community in terms of residents. We had planners, architects, and just normal residents. I got a number of them involved, and then they looked at it. One of the goals was we wanted to preserve industrial uses because this is one of the few areas in Beacon where we still have some factory style or type uses.
Well, Kemprine comes to mind.
Exactly. And right then there. One of the new ones that have come is Cafe Spice, which does Indian ready-to-eat, you know, microwavable food that you'll see in the markets. Those sorts of things we wanted to preserve, but we wanted to improve the aesthetics of that. But we're thinking, do we want residential along that corridor? What are we thinking will be there when the auto dealerships kind of migrate, which they probably will mm-hmm. over time? And, you know, the set of recommendations, I don't necessarily agree with some of the changes the council made. Most of them we're going to go into it in next year to deal with it because the committee has reported out. But how you kind of maintain industrial uses, but also start to allow residential uses, how to get more walkability, bikeability, transit, things like that were all parts of the goals. Also along Route 52, there's a set of historic brick buildings that
yes.
were all workforce housing.
Yes.
Actually, they were some of our poorer housing, but are now, because they've been historically preserved, are things we want to maintain.
Yes.
And so how does that work? So a number of issues, sort of a microcosm of a city thinking through its zoning, but focused in that one area.
So, yeah, and along there, we talked about Kemprine. Next door to them, I think it's almost immediately next door, is Jesco Equipment.
That's the Deer,
big,
yeah.
Big construction equipment company
yep.
right there. You know, those are important businesses. I'm sure they pay substantial property taxes on those businesses.
Yep. And then next to that is Industrial Arts Brewing, which was a newer, place, but it's a big brewery. And it's a place where you can also go have drinks. Next to that is this Cafe Spice. So wanting to still have some industrial uses done the right way. was useful. One of the changes the city did right away, I'll mention two of them, and we have most of them to work on. The short-term fixes, one included zoning out self-storage, which I don't think we needed to do because self-storage requires really cheap land, and Beacon doesn't have much cheap land left, right? Because, you know, you're basically, you know, doing storage. The issue with self-storage is it's not the kind of use that a main street would have because you don't want to – you don't get a lot of traffic in and out. Right, you want lots of people walking, coming through.
Right.
Frankly, I don't think we needed to do that because I think the cost of property on even Route 52 in Beacon is now high enough where it self-zones itself out. The other thing that we did short-term was we zoned out drive-thrus. And the thinking there, and I didn't happen to vote for it, but the thinking
Which
was...
Which brings us to the donuts.
Yes, exactly. The reason the donuts are here today is... You know, I come over here. I'm going to get here at 6:45. I come down Main Street. Nobody's open except a couple of the gas stations and their, you know, convenience stores. So I have to go to Fishkill to the Dunkin' Donuts. It does have a drive-through. I never use it. I walk in. I bring you all donuts. And that's not going to be allowed on Route 52 because the long-term view is that we want more mixed residential commercial. And that if you get a lot of residential and a lot of walkers, that having driveway cuts makes it hard to make those uses compatible. I don't think that will be an issue on Route 52 in Beacon for 20 or 30 years. So I thought it was premature to do that. But that's what the majority of the council wanted to do. But again, I think they were looking too far ahead and not viewing zoning as being incremental that you can change over time, right?
Exactly. What is Hudson Baylor Beacon? It's a recycling facility?
Hudson Baylor is the recycling facility. So Beacon, one of the uses there in those industrial uses is a recycling center where, you know, the trash haulers will bring the recycling and it's processed directly there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, both the metal and the paper and the plastics all get sorted there. So a very interesting facility. You should take a tour sometime.
I think back when that was being, you know, initiated, goes back years ago to when I was really involved with the county and the economic development. And that's why when I saw the name, that's why it reminded me of that. It's 7:30 on Hudson Valley Focus Live. You want to spend a few more minutes with me? Does your schedule allow it?
Yeah.
Excellent. Back after this news, traffic and weather updates with Beacon Mayor Lee Kiriakou here in studio talking about the zoning. And these are kind of the really thoughtful conversations that communities have to have given all the changes in demographics, of family sizes, of how we move about today. Back in a minute on the Beacon.
I sit and watch the children play, doing things I used to do. They think I'm new.
7:34 on Hudson Valley Focus Live on the Beacon on this Friday morning. Beacon Mayor Lee Kiriakou in studio with us and. One of the entertainment facilities on the main street in Fishkill is the Town Crier.
Absolutely.
And you have a celebrity performing there tonight, and that would be Miss Alicia Witt. She's going to be with us here 1 hour from now.
That'd be great.
In the studio. And Robbie's very excited. Look at the excitement on his face.
Yeah, Beacon was very fortunate to get the Town Crier. They moved out of Pauling, where they were for many years. And Phil Saganer, you know, kind of realized Beacon was coming back up. And it's been great for, I think, the city and certainly, I think, for them as well.
And I first knew them, the Town Crier, that is, more than 40 years ago when they're out in the little hamlet of Beekman.
Oh, before it went to Pauling.
Yeah, before it went to Pauling. And it was a very small facility, but they had a, you know, opportunity to bring in some great talent and then out to Pauling and now down to here and supporting the arts, Mayor, in different communities has always been very, very important. And often in renewing communities, artists looking for inexpensive space often were some of the pioneers into those communities. And unfortunately, as things became successful over time, sometimes they got priced out of it.
Yep. Although, you know, Beacon attracted them because of its popularity
yes.
and the strength of its Main Street and just the walkability that we've kind of reestablished along our Main Street. We were thinking, you know, along Route 52, it would be great if we could get some housing there going. And I think that will happen over time. And our zoning, we're going to have to sort through that. Most of that zoning now allows some mixed use, but doesn't have any architectural standards. And if you, you know, walk on our Main Street, the standards that we impose in terms of trying to maintain that historic style are important for the success of Main Street. So we'll be looking at kind of wanting to encourage on Route 52 in Beacon those sort of mixed uses, getting some more residential. Like, could you do another Main Street style building? Maybe not the same architecture, mm-hmm. but commercial ground floor, a couple floors of residential. We have right next to Route 52 an abandoned rail line. We've got the city is starting up the construction, we hope, of a rail trail from the train station right along our Main Street and then right along Route 52 into Fishkill, which will eventually connect to the Empire State Trail, which is up in Hopewell and goes over the walkway over the Hudson and all the way to Canada. So that'll be important. And having a rail trail right next to Route 52, we think the synergy of encouraging housing will increase property values, but it's going to take a while. In fact, the current car dealers have converted their uses. There's a Carvana there. There's a new Buddhist retreat or learning center coming that's just opening, and I think another auto repair. So this is not something that happens in a week. You know, you set the zoning, and 3 weeks later, somebody comes. It's going to take 20 or 30 years, and we'll probably tweak it a couple of times, the zoning, but we hope we're heading in the right direction.
Well, you said something, and this may have been before we actually turned the microphones on, but it's very important in terms of the underground piping and the infrastructure that is ancient.
Oh, yeah. I should have mentioned that. I'm sure everyone's first question on 52 is going to be, when's the construction going to finish? So we started last season, 2024, the reconstruction of Fishkill and Teller Avenues in Beacon. And because the infrastructure underneath it, the sewer lines, the water lines are 100 years old, once you get state or federal transportation money to do a project of that size, you want to get all that done. We're closing up the sewer and water work this week, but we don't have time to do the full paving. We'll take care of the paving in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that kind of updates of old infrastructure, you absolutely have to have federal and state transportation money. We are on the verge of losing it, which is why we needed to get that work done soon.
So this is a point where we talk about executive ability, leadership, project management, getting these projects moving. There was one that, you know, came to mind. Maybe it was in the extreme. Up in the village of Tivoli, they needed to replace a bridge, and it involved the state and federal funding. 11 years.
Yeah.
11 years. And so this is something where we're talking about AI, artificial intelligence, but getting inventorying where these projects are, really being able to, you know, first of all, identify where these old underground lines are. There, for the most part, there are no good maps that tell us where this is. But we have an enormous, enormous task in front of us as a nation, particularly in the northeast or the eastern part of this country that's been here for several hundred years.
Yep, absolutely. And one of those, you know, it was daunting, right? And when, you know, a couple generations ago people were leaving the cities, it was not only don't have the population to do it and can't afford to do it. Now that people are coming back to cities because they want that more, you know, walking lifestyle, you know, I think you're going to have to do the work. In Beacon, you know, we've been working on this for 40 years, and we just kept saying, we'll do a little. And even when we didn't have the money, you got to keep doing a little.
Right.
Because if you keep doing it long enough, you get it done. I mean, if you look at our streets, you know, you look at our infrastructure, we've done, you know, tens of millions of dollars of upgrades. A lot of it was federal and state support, which we were grateful for, but part of it was just keeping at it. And if you compare our roads, for example, the part you see the best, to, you know, other cities, we're looking pretty good. So,
and again, one of the things that I've been an advocate for, you know, for all the years I've been involved at the, you know, I mentioned being involved with the chamber as head of long range planning years ago, and but we need our trades and industrial arts folks out there. They're the people who actually have to physically do this work.
Yep, no, absolutely, and. You know, being able to train for it is another one of the issues of, you know, how do we repoint our education industry in
exactly.
the right direction? These are big, you know, big issues that affect us all. And if unless we do it together, it doesn't oftentimes happen. Now, change happens on its own, whether you want or not. The question is whether it goes the right way or it heads in a wrong direction. So, and that's where community dialogue is important.
And that's why conversations like this are really important in terms of, so the public understands that it's one thing to say, well, we need to do this. Well, you know, where do the people resources come from? Where do the supply resources come from? We're talking about, you know, increasing demand on our electric power grids. We are extremely deficient in the United States in terms of actually producing those components, the very large transformers, that we need a better public conversation as to where we need to go. And I'll fault everybody on that for years and years and years for not pointing this out.
Yeah, the power grid's an interesting issue because not only you have to generate the power, you have to, you know, wheel it to where it's being used.
Yes.
And the combination of, you know, where are, will our sources of electricity come from? Where do we expect how much the demand will be as we shift from, you know, toward more electric? And then how do you get it there? In fact, one of the big ones coming through the valley is the Champlain-Hudson connector of electricity.
Using the Hudson River as an extension cord.
Yeah, exactly. And it is important. And, you know, we're going to have to deal with real basic infrastructure issues like that if we're going to, you know, be ready for the next century.
I will get an update on that project probably next Wednesday. I will have, you know, an annual luncheon on the folks from the Energy Institute. And every December they meet last year got a pretty good update. The person who actually was in charge of that great big ship going down the river, laying the cable was there last year. So I'll see if I can get an update on that project as well. But again, you know, these are important issues. People complain about the cost of their energy but without a good understanding of, you know, what's going on behind the scenes. I'm going to let you duck out of here in a minute, but I thought about something during the break, and you mentioned a career in banking. I had a career in insurance and financial services. You and I were in a position where we held to very, very, very strict standards of financial accountability and fiduciary responsibility to our clients. That's why this is so near and dear to my heart. When I see the waste of public resources and people say, well, that's the way it is. No, it can't be that way. There's too much to do that we actually need those dollars for to rebuild the infrastructure in Beacon or Poughkeepsie or wherever it happens to be, Mayor.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, look, the mayor's position in Beacon is a part-time
yes.
position.
I always forget that. Yeah,
I spent my career, you know, working in New York City, largely in banking. Our charter in Beacon, I think, is an exceptional one. We require a full-time professional city administrator to run the city day to day, which is extremely important because you don't know what skills that the person you elect has. But if there's a full-time professional city administrator, you hire an outside law firm of professionals. You do the same with your planner, your engineer. You start to get the kind of professionalism that I think all communities need. We've been doing that in Beacon. It's part of our charter, and I really believe in it. Some people say, oh, no, there should be a full-time mayor. It's like, I disagree, actually. You want the electoral process to select good people who are professionals to help run it. You work on issues like zoning, which are policy issues. You set a budget, but, you know, the day-to-day, you need to kind of let that be run much more, you know, by the book.
And the role of a city council to exercise the oversight and make sure that you have the appropriate reports from your professional administrators, and this comes back to the fiduciary duty. I mean, I've been involved. There was a number of years ago, I actually had to resign from an organization. I was, you know, a volunteer on the board, and the full-time executive director was not providing the required financial disclosures. And so a city council, the folks who are there, need to have the, I guess I'll call it the expertise to be able to know how to scrutinize those budgets and find out whether or not the taxpayers' resources are being used responsibly.
Yeah, and, you know, it means it's, you know, not ever going to be a perfect system, but, you know, democracy never is. So.
No, but we have to look for high standards.
Yep. Very much so.
Mayor Lee Kyriakou, thank you very much. I look forward to ongoing conversations with you. These are the kinds of conversations, I mean this sincerely, that communities and up through the chain of our layers of the political system, we have to have in order to address these issues that have many have gone unresolved for too long.
Yep, absolutely. Always happy to come.
Have a very happy holiday.
Yes, you too.
Thank you. Listeners, let's get into the sports report. It's already 7:47 on Hudson Valley Focus Live. We'll be back in a minute on the Beacon.